Never made it as a wise man. I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Tired of living like a blind man. I'm sick of sight without a sense of feeling. And this is how you remind me.
All right, welcome back to Not a Hobby, week 5. We're glad that everyone is alive, unlike Ryan Williams' wish to kill everybody, as was written on his eye black in Georgia versus Alabama. It's quite a juxtaposition to have Tim Tebow, John 3:16, and then Ryan Williams kill everybody. But we're glad y'all made it here anyway. Quick recap of week 4. Quant went 2-2-1. Nato went 4-1. Huge bounce back. And Jimmy went 1-0. So that brings total records up to, for Q, 10-8-2. He's clipping at 56%. Nato at 8-11-1. Hitting at 42%, which is a massive jump from his 29% last week. And Jimmy at 3-1. The This Is a Hobby segment is hitting at 75%. And we hope to keep that streak alive. So let's just jump right into week 5. We'll pass the baton to Nato to start as the winner.
One comment on last week. Nato gotta have seen that coming with Hurricane Helene coming in. You know, a storm was brewing and the tornado was about to take shape. Wow. So really good job by Nato. Should have never gone against you in that Saints-Falcons game.
Yeah, we need to start looking at the weather trends pre-Hayden pick, pre-Nato pick.
Yeah. But Nato, you won the week. You going to start us off?
All right, guys. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of down in the dumps. I don't know if it's the Wednesday blues or the weekend still lingering over me, but it started with Saturday. Jimmy and I went out for a few bevvies. And we were sitting there chopping up about the pod, you know, getting ready for Sunday picks. And I spotted someone at the corner of the bar over there. And I was like, "Hey, Jimmy, I think we need to get a picture for the podcast, for the socials." And he held up his phone and kind of put it in front of us like, "Oh, a selfie, you know?" And I was like, no, behind you. And sitting behind Jimmy was a gentleman wearing a number 4 Dak Prescott jersey.
Where are you going with that?
He was Hispanic. He was
yes.
Hispanic. And went up to him, bought him a beer. I said, "Dude, I want you to know that we are talking about Hispanic fans on our podcast that are Cowboys fans." And he was like, "Yeah, duh." He looked at us like we were the biggest idiots of all time. So that stat was more prevalent than I realized. And Saturday happened, went to Sunday.
Did you get his number?
His name?
Yeah, there you go.
No, I did not. Okay. I figured it's Prescott. So, but Sunday rolled around. Producer Pat came over. He brought some crumble cookies, and I had my weight in crumble cookies. So all in all, it was a tough weekend. But nevertheless, the pod is always on the forefront of the mind.
Mm-hmm. It was a good observation. Yeah.
First play of the day. I'm going to pick the Raiders +2.5 versus the Broncos. Bo Nix is 2-2 ATS. The Broncos are 2-2. The Raiders are in the same boat. The fact that one of these two teams is going to have a winning record after this week makes me sick to my stomach. But the Raiders +2.5 versus a struggling rookie quarterback that has outperformed his ATS potential. I'm going to take the Raiders +2.5 in that spot. I think it's kind of perfect, especially a team that has turmoil surrounding him. Talk about trading their star player, their number one receiver, trying to get Davante Adams out of there. The books are kind of giving the Broncos an edge, which I don't think, you know, any rookie quarterback outside of Jaden Daniels should be favored yet this year. So Raiders +2.5. I think it's an auto play.
Yeah, Nato, my first play was something similar. I had the Raiders +3. I got it a little earlier in the week than it stands now. But yeah, everything you said, I agree with. I feel bad about this one because the ponies have done me a solid as I've taken them the last 2 weeks to cover. And they've won both of them outright. So kind of hopping off the wagon right now before it crashes. And yeah, they shouldn't be favored by 3 against anybody in the league except for maybe the Panthers because they're still in the doghouse. But
they're still there.
All right, next. So we're on the same page for that one. The next one, I'll take one that's probably not in the popular opinion. It's going to be Texans plus one versus the Bills. The Texans are 0-3-1 ATS. It's a team that I still have a lot of faith in. I still think CJ Stroud's a top-performing quarterback in the league, and Nico Collins is showing his true colors as receiver number one in the NFL. It's funny. I was watching him play, and he looked so big out there. I was like, I don't remember this guy in college at all, and so I looked up his Michigan tape. Should have seen this one coming. I mean, the dude is 6'5", runs like a gazelle, and catches every ball seemingly within a 10-foot range. So I like the Texans here. If Joe Mixon's back, which I suspect he will be, that's a huge benefit. They can lean on the run game a little bit, open it up, you know, more of a pass for CJ Stroud. And, you know, for the Bills to get blown out in primetime the way that they did, usually the books are pretty safe. You know, they won't overcorrect. And I think they might have undercorrected. You know, I was expecting the Bills to be 2.5, 3-point favorites. Every time you look up at the Texans, they're in a dogfight with some dog water team. But yeah, I think Texans win here plus one. It's kind of a just hold your nose and bet it because I think the Bills are a really good team.
Yeah, I'm very, very happy with my Nico shares I've gotten in fantasy. He's on two of my four teams and
four.
Absolute stud. Yep, four teams.
Entirely too many teams.
All right, my second one is the Browns plus three at the Commanders. Nato's not going to like this one as he's been on the Fade to Sean train, but the Jaden Daniels hype has gotten a little out of control. The defenses he's played have been the Buccaneers, the Giants, the Bengals, and the Cardinals. All bottom 10 in the league and finally playing a competent defense. Deshaun actually looked decent last week outside of Amari Cooper dropping a couple he should definitely have caught. And I just think it's a good spot for the Browns getting three.
Jimmy, help me with the legal diction here. I think Deshaun Watson might be tied up in the P. Diddy case. I don't know how you would –
Is he a co-conspirator?
Something like that. He's certainly not guilty. No, not.
Yeah, can we talk about the list briefly? Were there any – I haven't given it the once-over. Were there any prominent NFL athletes we saw on that list other than a one Deshaun DW?
Unfamiliar with the case. I mean, I would imagine there'd be characters from years past in the NFL, but it's not a list you want to be on. I'll say that the P. Diddy's whatever list and Q's doghouse list. I mean, those are two spots where I do not want to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about the issue. All I've heard, the headlines have just been like Costco cases of baby oil were found in his residence. And that's really the extent of what I don't care to read up about it.
Yeah, nor do I. The whole thing makes my stomach queasy a little bit. But all I know is Costco came out and said, do not get us involved in whatever you're saying because we do not sell baby oil. You did not get that bulk from us. So unfamiliar, but all I know is for how heinous of a crime that P. Diddy committed, sounds like a lot of times I would put Deshaun Watson as equally as bad of a guy. So.
Yeah.
Backing him.
Goodbye, Costco. Maybe there'll be a pod sponsor.
I stand with Costco. And
yep.
But I will say this, Q, in all seriousness, if anyone blows any more smoke up Jaden Daniels behind, he's going to be a chimney stack because this rookie is just getting all the love. They're comparing him to Tom Brady, and rightfully so. I mean, he's had a great start, but it's been some lackluster defenses, and this is kind of a perfect spot to take the Browns. Were, you know, in weeks past, I wouldn't be thinking twice about it. I'd be on the Commanders, probably double unit play, but I know when to hop off the train as you were mentioning earlier. And so I'll happily stand on the sidelines, but I will not be rooting on the Browns in this one.
Yep, that's fair.
All right, my next one is going to be – oh, these are all three. See, all my picks this week were dogs, which I just don't like. My next one, it's another ugly one that I'm going to be not on the public side, but it's going to be Bengals plus 2.5 versus the Ravens. The Ravens had a huge primetime win. King Henry looked like King Henry. But I think this is kind of a must-win spot for the Bengals. And I think it's a divisional matchup. You want to take the dog. And this is kind of one of those get right, reset the division. Bengals back on their Super Bowl trajectory that we had. You know, they always kind of have a slow start, similar to this year. So give me a Joe Burrow that's playing quietly like an MVP against a Ravens team that is coming off of a huge primetime blowout for a little letdown spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that one. Didn't make my list, but that was one of my first four out for sure. My third one is the Buccaneers plus 1.5 at the Falcons. This is some Thursday night action coming tomorrow as we are recording on Wednesday. Yeah, short week for both teams, kind of like taking the team with more continuity on offense especially, and haven't been impressed with Kirk. So like the yeah. Bucks.
Yeah, I like that. To me, the Bucks and the Saints are such similar teams, mm-hmm. and so it makes sense that the line's going to close at something similar.
Yeah, and the Falcons last week had the flukiest win.
Yeah, exactly.
Two special teams and defensive touchdowns. Like,
yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Young Wei, the truth.
Yeah, I mean, he is the truth. That we can agree on.
All right, my next throw is going to be against a rookie quarterback who I really do not have faith in. I don't know if y'all saw Caleb Williams' celebration when he was going off the field, but it was tough. Terrific. It looked like he was trying to do like a sack race, sans sack.
This is when I need to be able to throw up a clip.
Jumping up and down, throwing both hands, knees touching, which is honestly an impressive feat.
How high did he get off the ground?
Couldn't jump over a newspaper with that kind of action.
Zach Randolph special.
Oh my gosh. If his nails are painted, it just paint that picture in your head. Unfortunately, they are playing the Panthers, which is a side that I really don't like backing, but it opened at 5.5 and it's on its way down. I'm catching it at 4, which I like. You know, I have faith in Andy Dalton. Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard are kind of running for their jobs right now with Jonathan Brooks about to come back from an ACL. So give me the Red Rifle against a Bears team that, you know, got lucky with some DeAndre Swift breakout runs. That's a guy that's been averaging 1 yard a carry all year. Give me the Thurs plus 4 against Zacharias Williams.
Zach Wine.
Yeah. I just can't bring myself to take the Panthers. But I respect your dedication. All right. My next one is the Patriots, which is a pick 'em against the Dolphins. My toilet bowl special of the week. If Mason Rudolph can put up 30 against the Dolphins, then Brissett can at least put up 20. And Lord knows that's enough to beat Skylar Thompson and or Snoop Huntley. So
who?
Give me the Patriots.
I like it.
Huntley?
I really wanted to be on the Dolphins, but there's no way. There's zero sign of any promise. So
yeah,
I like that. It's just tough that they're getting the Patriots.
Mike McDaniel looked like a defeated man on that sideline last week.
Yeah, he's a tough case. I like him. I think he's a super smart guy, but
yeah,
the stench on him when he's losing, it just does not smell right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, for my last one, I'm going to go primetime Saints plus 5 versus the Chiefs. The only reason I wouldn't have taken this is because it's in Arrowhead. But, you know, losing Pacheco to Rice back-to-back, that's a huge loss. So pretty much now the only thing the Saints have to scheme up is how to stop Travis Kelce, who runs a 9-second 40-yard dash, and Xavier Worthy. So Tyrann Mathieu's a dog. I see him lining up kind of head-to-head on Travis Kelce this week. Plus five, you know, that's a spot where I really like to fade Mahomes. Those shorter favorites are kind of where he thrives. So Saints plus five after a gutting loss. I think it's kind of an auto play. I like it up there with my Raiders pick. So
very good. All right, my final one is another one we have in agreement, one you took earlier, the Texans plus one at home against the Bills. This is the most exciting matchup of the year so far, in my humble opinion. The Texans are 0-3-1 against the spread. It's the two best QBs in the league, in my opinion. Yes, I said it. Mahomes fans, it's a crime this game isn't in prime time. Diggs revenge game, Diggs anytime touchdown, plus 150. Get it while you can.
That's strong.
Give me the underperforming and still somehow 3-1 Texans. Yeah, that's my final throw.
That's strong. I think, oh man, that it's not going to be a double unit play, but I'm on the same page with you there. We're going to be in the minority taking that one.
But yeah. Look at the shirt. Let's pause for a second and observe the shirt.
Wearing the lucky shirt.
Good. So
it's stinky too. Y'all better know.
Let me get this straight. We just took nine games, and our one favorite was the Patriots.
We took
or 10 games.
Eight games.
We took nine dogs.
Eight games.
One favorite.
We had two in agreement.
Okay. Oh yeah, correct. Oh, that is ugly.
One pick 'em.
That is ugly.
Yeah.
It's how you win in this league.
Hey, it's a dog week. Woof woof. All right. Time for what I think everybody's been waiting on is the 3-1. This is a hobby segment, which is
Jimmy. You're not giving yourself credit
or longer.
You know, we're taking these at minus odds, and every this is a hobby picks had some juice on it.
Your 3-1's really like a 5-6-1 in unit terms.
Right.
I prefer to speak in percentages, so they don't know I've only bet on four games. But yeah, I'm clipping at 75%. This is a hobby segment, for those who don't know, is for the folks who don't know ball well. They don't know the players, but they love the game. And they pick based on gut and look to confirm with patterns outside of the football game. So this week's This is a Hobby pick. All right, producer P, cue the music. All right, we're going to introduce a little bit of a flavor of love this week. There's something in the air. And this week is going to touch on some potential relationship status among the pod members.
Oh my goodness.
So we're going to rope in a couple. We might rope in some new listeners with this one. Q-Man made me aware of if it's too far, we can use code names. I'm going to use code name as the your target this weekend is the Rapture. That's your target code name. And Q has made me aware of an upcoming date, one that has been in the making for, dare we say, years at this point? I think we dare say it. I'm not going to get into the details, but it did help me look for my This is a Hobby pick of the week this week. Guys, what stadium has the most proposals, the most wedding proposals?
Oh, it's got – well, what's the timeline here? Because initially I would think Vegas, but
– well, let me clarify. This is what NFL stadium – there's an actual study on this – has the most success rate for proposals. And they looked at a variety of factors I'll go over. But, yeah, take a minute and – make your pick. I've got three, the top three for you.
Okay. I'll think aloud, you know, for the sake of the podcast listeners. Alcohol. I feel like alcohol would have to be involved. So I'm going to go off alcohol sales, and typically a 1-to-1 ratio for alcohol sales is on the other side of that equation is weather, is cold temperature. The colder it gets, the more you drink. So Green Bay, I'm thinking Lambo.
Wow. Not in the top 10.
Oh, not in the top 10?
Not in the top 10.
I would say going on a per game basis, I would consider London because it's just a destination trip, and I feel like people can make that to be a chance to pull some crazy moves.
You see, I'm not
proposing at an NFL stadium for one.
I'm not factoring in the upbringing. I mean, everyone from Green Bay has probably been married since they were like 17, so that's their childhood sweetheart. Mm. So,
well, they got engaged at the bar outside of the stadium.
It's got to be more of like a destination, Hard Rock in Miami.
Warm.
Oh, okay. Like temperature wise, or for the sake of guessing?
Both.
Okay. I mean, close to that would be the Bucks.
Warmer.
Uh-huh.
It's got to be somebody who's hosting this week, I would think.
Take me home, Q.
Jaguars.
Well, this is
ding, 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 ding. The Jags. It's so gross. They are, let's see, what are they? Are they +3? Does anyone have that?
They're -3.
They're -3. That's right. Against the Colts, which is just, I don't quite understand that.
I'm with you.
But we're playing the Jags, and here's what the study looked at. The sort of the 3 to 4 metrics, which I found really interesting. The first two aren't very exciting. Availability of romantic meals for sale. So in other words, like a couple meal plan. Terrible. That was what one of the bad metrics.
Boo.
Scoreboard messaging. So ads for scoreboard message. It was cheaper there. So there were a few more, you know, happy birthdays, maybe some kiss cams. And this is the one that struck me. Hospital consummation rates post win and domestic abuse cases post loss, both highest in Everbank Stadium.
No kidding. Trevor Bank.
Trevor Bank Stadium.
Right now it's anyone's bank.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, so this is a hobby pick, but bonus pick for you guys. If you want to really get action and bet on love this week, this is rolling the dice on romance bonus pick. We're going to parlay the Jags at -3 with the Doors at +22.5. The site or the scene of the date. I'm not going to give any more information, but Q and Rapture, if you have any celebrity spottings this week in Nashville, please submit them to the pod. We will shout you out next week, post it, discuss it, hunt Q down and Rapture, make them feel loved and warm, and let's get this guy across the finish line. So parlay that Jags -3 at Vanderbilt +22.5.
Yeah, I personally don't believe in taking Vanderbilt spreads as my emotions only revolve around a win or a loss. So I won't be taking that, but I appreciate the well wishes, Jimmy.
You're welcome. Any you want to add any context? I was hoping maybe to give you the floor to disclose what you may like and disclose what you may not like, but we'll just give you a little bit of airtime just to explore that.
I don't know what you mean by that, to be honest, but
I've got a comment. However we want to break it up.
String it up.
I think it's super interesting how when you structure a first date, it's typically around a hobby, you know, mini putt, bowling, movie.
Wow.
Q could not be taking this female to more of a non-hobby experience. Him watching Vanderbilt play the Tide in Nashville.
Does she know what she's in for?
Does she think he's going to talk to you? Because you're not
I am concerned. I was thinking about that earlier. I think it'll be a dialed down Q as much as I can. Kind of have to be if I want another date. She might just walk out the stadium. But
you may appreciate the passion.
I hope you have radio in both ears, so she just has no one to talk to.
Yeah. This is why I don't go on bowling dates. I get too into the actual bowling. Forget about the date.
This is true.
But yeah, taking a roll of the dice with a Vandy Alabama game. It should be interesting.
Is this the first date in Vanderbilt Stadium?
Gotta be. Gotta be. Yeah.
I just imagine Quant on the third frame of his bowling date. Just, hey, Rapture, you know you need seven spears and a strike for a 194. Just hitting the mental math. So for those that don't know, Jimmy, Quant, and I were on the bowling team in high school.
Mm-hmm. I was an alternate.
And we would always turn to Quant because, you know, as his namesake, he is literally a quantitative. We'd say, hey, Q, you know, I'm really trying to get to a 200, trying to raise my average. What do I need here? There'd be a little buffer time, and he would just spit out the eight different scenarios in which you could bowl a 200.
It's crazy. I still don't even know how to calculate the score. I've probably rolled upwards of 1,000 games.
Same. I bowled for 8 years and I don't know how to score. But
those were the glory days. That is for sure.
It was
on a bowling date, I would definitely have to, you know, if they don't give you credit for, a closing frame or whatever, you got to correct that score. The girl's like, what are you doing? Got to get a true score. Or if you miss it and it gives you it, you got to correct it anyways because you're an honest man and you want to show her that.
Yeah. That another
scenario. I bet they appreciated that.
Yeah. I mean, I probably didn't have another date with those people.
there's a spare where the pin kicks back into the lane and you just got to get on the intercom and say, we have some dead wood on lane 7.
Deadwood, lane 7.
Yeah. Yeah. You cannot have that.
Brooklyn.
All right. Well, good stuff.
And then let me finish up with the primetime under and underdogs. Last week, both went 50%. So primetime unders all time this season are hitting at 55%. And the underdog is hitting at 33%. So that was maybe a miss at the start of the year, but still liking primetime unders. Underdogs may fight back, but really liking the unders right now. So without any further ado, anyone else have any comment?
I'm good.
So it is October 2nd, which is my mother's birthday. So I got to give my mom a shout out. She birthed me. She raised me. You know, I think that is a personification of Not a Hobby. You know, raising That's me true. was the least hobby thing of all time. So a little anecdote about
some would say.
Okay. A little anecdote about my mother. She's so kind. You know, she's a sports fan. I was fortunate enough to be raised in a sports household, but it's like it's never on. And she's kind of a fan of the pod. So she knows that I've got some vested interest and she'll text me if it's a primetime game and be like, who are we liking here? You know, and she kind of has a base idea on what lines are. And she's been listening to the first couple episodes and I've been struggling. And I got one of the most sobering texts I've ever received was Sunday morning after being out with Jimmy. I woke up and I've had my woes making picks. And my sweet mother, who normally says, hey, what are we liking today? She texted me and she said, what are Quant's plays for today?
So, let's go, Trish.
House divided.
Mom, if you're listening, happy birthday. I love you. But damn, that one hurt.
Hey, quick interjection. I bet there's not a primetime game in the last 20 years that they've been awake for. They're all way past their bedtime.
I know. My parents go to bed at like 5:45. I don't know if they still do TiVo or how that works, but she gets her spectating. I think they record it and then wake up and then watch it at like 4 a.m. when they're up having coffee. But she's always there. You know, if I lose, she's saying, "Hey, we'll get them next time." She knows
what your routing number too. Yeah.
Right. Love it. Hey, heard you had a bad one. Here's a $10 Venmo to go get some more ramen. So, but no, that was tough. I've lost the support of my mother, but you know,
maybe you got it back after last week.
Well, what are y'all head to head? What are y'all, aren't you winning the head to heads?
He is.
If you look on a weekly basis, Nato's winning. If you look on a percentage basis, Q has got the edge right now.
The one in four did not serve the Nato well.
That was tough.
Good shout out. Great shout out.
Thank you. I got a different intro. I think it's hilarious. I said no. It was, I can't be.